Looking to go out in the town in the city of Boston for an affordable price and grab some great food, drinks, and atmosphere in the Seaport District? Well, look no further than newcomer Seaport Social. Seaport Social is a premier and authentic social house that is poised to proudly serve the Boston area for many years to come. Their mission is to provide high-quality food and unique craft beer selection, along with a welcoming atmosphere for all those that wish to witness firsthand what the Boston social spirit is all about. From a top-notch bar, great group seating, to their premier menu, including their massive loaded nachos, endless craft beers on tap, and an exquisite espresso martini option, look for manager Jimmy, who will satisfy your needs. A project that has been 4 years in the making is finally here, Seaport Social, which is located at 225 Northern Avenue in the Seaport District in Boston, will officially open its doors for their grand opening December 1st. Get there while you can and tell them Steel and Az sent you. Eat, drink, social. That's what the Seaport Social does.
What's going on, everyone? Back here again. Today we have a internet sensation, business enthusiast, venture capitalist, newly TV star, John Cicerone. Is that how you say your last name?
Sarasani,
excuse me.
People that have known me for 30 years still mispronounce it, so I'll let that one fly. We've only known each other for a month.
Yeah, just want to have you come on today. Just talk about your start to finish, just where you started from, where you are, where you're projected to. I know your projection is to go to the moon in the fastest way possible. That can help you out along the way. So, yeah, let's dive into it. So, just want to talk about and just kind of give yourself a quick intro of just who you are.
Yeah, man, no problem, bro. I guess I'm on this podcast circuit right now because I'm involved in some high-profile shit. I'm a venture capitalist, but I tend to get involved in deals with either high-profile ideas or high-profile people. So, like, Aaron Rodgers is a business partner of mine. Kevin Garnett, you're a Boston guy. Yep. You know, a lot of people think of him on the Timberwolves. I have the Garnett Celtics jersey, all right? Just FYI, I wear it every St. Patrick's Day. And people around Chicago, some high-five me, some boo me when I wear that motherfucker. Sold my company back in 2015. What's really unique about me and that company I sold is I just took a concept that was already there, and instead of working for somebody else, I decided I'm going to work for myself. And instead of making that 150 grand a year, I gave myself a 2000% raise, put myself on top of the org chart, and became a multimillionaire as a result of it. And that's what I talk about on the internet, bro. That's what I talk about on my social media. I just wrote a book. It's called 2000% Raise. I have a podcast called 2000% Raise, and it's all really centered around the idea that, hey, man, I wasn't Mark Zuckerberg. I didn't come out with some billion-dollar thing here, bro. I didn't come from generational wealth. I just had a freaking job in corporate America and said, what is this bullshit? I don't need to be working here. This 150 grand they're giving me, that's a freaking bribe. I'll go do this for myself. And did that when I was 27, 9.5 years later, sold it into private equity and put myself in a position to retire.
I love that. So, and just from the beginning, so you were started off working in insurance sales, correct? And then that's how it just transferred. You just said one day, hey, I can do this by myself. Like how did that come into fruition?
Got to tell you, man, I haven't talked about this a lot, but one of the things that I was very fortunate with is I ended up in insurance, and insurance is kind of like real estate. The barrier of entry to get into that space is low. All you do is pass an insurance exam, just like real estate. You get that real estate license. Now, once you're in there, you know, it's competitive. Okay. There's people that do exactly what I did for a living, making under 50 grand a year. You know what I mean? So there's people that go out into business on their own and freaking make zero. You know what I mean? It's a competitive space. And I figured that I worked at one of the giants, Arthur J. Gallagher. It's a brokerage house, and we were selling corporate insurance. So we were representing organizations with their employee benefit providers. So it was just as much consulting the client as well as brokering the business and negotiating them, you know, good premiums for their insurance. But what I really did that was unique was I developed a niche working with higher education institutions. And that's really what allowed me to propel and have the success that I did.
Yeah. So I obviously we met like a month ago through Bob Menery. Shout out to Bob.
What's up, Bob?
What's up, Bobby? But
that was back in his Adderall days. He's posting now that he doesn't do Adderall anymore.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, okay.
He's a health guru now.
I don't even know who this person is. It was an Adderall psychosis every time I fucking met him. And we've met him a number of times. Like, are you on Adderall or not? He doesn't fucking know. Anyway.
Yeah, you'd go over his house. He'd be like, I haven't slept in 4 days. You're like, you probably need some fucking sleep.
Say that.
You probably need some sleep, buddy.
I was just going to freaking say that. Hey, I'll talk to you in 18 hours. I go, why? He goes, I'm going to bed. You sleep for 18 hours? Well, when I haven't slept since Sunday, yeah.
I know. So we did a impromptu podcast with a couple grizzly bear survivors, and it got a little hectic, to say the least. He was inviting in grizzly Uber delivery drivers. His co-host was a Uber driver to start with. But yeah, we're still waiting on that release.
Well, I was supposed to be the co-host, and he told me he's probably not going to release. He goes, ah, dude, it didn't really turn out as good as I thought. He said to me, and I go, what do you mean? He goes, the content, bro. I go, he goes, no one was funny. He's like, well, you kind of looked drunk. I go, well, Bob, I was coming to your house at 3 a.m. I wasn't planning on co-hosting a podcast. My bad.
No, it's funny. So I've been diving deep into your content. So your content is definitely fucking, I want to say it's polarizing at the same time motivational, because there's a lot of people on the internet that are coming at you. Like you said, you didn't come from money, but a lot of people think that you had like a good platform to start. And I just like want to talk about like what really made you take that leap? Like, what was the initial part that like made you take the decision to like, hey, I can do this on my own? Like, what was those first couple of days where you just made that decision of starting your own company? Like, what is it like to start your own company in the first place?
Yeah, man. So I wrote a book. The book that I have out right now is called 2000% Raise. And my previous book before that was called Paid Training. And I released that back when I was still working in 2011. And the reason I bring that up is because I was looking at my job in corporate America as just that, as paid training. I'm doing this job here to learn as much as I possibly can, getting paid handsomely for it. And then when I'm ready, I'm going to go apply those skills to myself and put myself on top of that organizational chart and become the CEO. And the concept's simple, bro. It's really freaking simple. It's like, dude, you see these entrepreneurs on like Shark Tank and shit, Barbara Corcoran and Mark Cuban. Yeah, you know, it's okay. Go out there and fail. Live off ramen noodles. Sleep out of your car. And that's fine if you do fail and you go broke a couple times. But like, don't make it your fucking plan. Don't plan for that to happen just because fucking, you know, Robert and whatever the fuck his last name is going to say, that's okay. You learned a lot there, didn't you, partner? Get a job in corporate America, learn the trade, learn the industry in and out, because you don't know what you don't know. You're just a customer in it right now. Go work in the industry, learn everything you can, get paid handsomely, be allowed to take your girlfriend out on dates, be allowed to go on vacation. Don't throw away your grandma's inheritance money on some idea that you fucking don't know anything about. Paid training, then go out on your own and win. And that's exactly what I did, man. And as I look back in my life, I didn't really know what was happening at the time. So I talk about it now, explain to people the journey. Hey, here's what you should look at. But gosh, I think I was about 6 months late. I probably stuck around that job an extra 6 months more than I needed to. It took me 6 months for it to kick into my mind that I'm not learning shit here, right? And I don't need this company, but I was so scared. Oh, I don't know, man. My parents were telling me, you got such a good job at such a good company, and all those things were true. But, you know, finally just said F it and took that leap, bro.
So then like kind of based off that topic. So like you said, how long were you working for that paid training for?
Yeah. So I was in the industry, about 5 years roughly. Wow. I got out of college. I stayed a fifth year because I played football in college. So I stayed a fifth year. So by the time I started my job, and I had an early birthday in December, so I was already 23 when I got my first job out of college. And then I started my company at 27. So I guess 4.5 years, yeah, I guess a little under 5 years.
So do you think that, so you obviously went freshman year, you went to Notre Dame and then switched over to Northwestern, I believe?
Correct.
So do you think that playing like organized sports like that transitions to the business world as far as like the competitiveness or anything you like picked up from that?
Yeah, I think it does translate, but I think it's the skill set that you already have inherently that translates. Okay, listen, man, I was a good football player because I was freaking like mean and I was a badass and I didn't want to lose. Like I had that in me. I didn't learn that from football and then go apply it to business, but I approach business just like I did football. You know what I mean? There's plenty of guys that I played football with that weren't freaking badasses, that were just big dudes or fast dudes that at the end of the day, you don't want that guy next to you. If you get into a fight on the street, he'll get his fucking ass kicked, even though he's 6'7", 300 pounds. He's soft. He's fucking soft. Okay. He doesn't have to fight because he's 6'7", 300. Yeah, exactly. But that same guy goes out. And when I say fight, I don't mean it literally, guys. I'm talking about competitiveness. Now when he goes out there on his own in business and does whatever, he doesn't have that competitive edge. It's not inherently in him. And it is with me.
Okay. So then another like topic, same thing. Like I'm trying to get as much knowledge from you to pass on to other people. One of the best things I think about you is you talk about like being this internet guru of being like, hey, I made all this money, but I'm not going to tell you how to make this money. I'm basically going to just like force you to make the decision to like get out there and do it yourself, which I think is good.
Yeah. I mean, I put together, what's funny about you saying that, man, I'm in the early stages. I don't want to turn into one of those guys on the internet. Like, I don't want the perception to be that I'm sitting here trying to sell a course to everybody pretending to be rich because I'm going to get rich off of you buying my course, which a lot of these people on the internet do. It's like, dude, why the fuck? If you're so fucking rich, why are you working so hard to sell this course? And then it's like, what is his underlying business? Oh, his underlying business is selling courses on how to be rich. That's how he became rich.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy, bro.
I feel like that's the problem with these motivational speakers. I feel like a lot of them, like, they just started motivational speaking to do it, and then people will follow them behind that, thinking that that's how they got their fucking wealth in the first place. But,
bro, I was just having this conversation. This guy, what's his name? Wes Watson. Wes Watson, dude. He's one of those guys. He's good. He catches you. He's great to listen to, but then you peel it back. He's talking about he was in jail as a drug dealer for 10 years, and he was like the white Aryan guy in prison that led the charge against the, you know, that gang in the prison and stuff. And now he's out as a motivational speaker and he's a freaking multimillionaire. It's like, wait, dude, you became a multimillionaire. You're this underdog story, but you became it speaking about this shit and having these retreats. So what was your first fucking speech about? That's what I want to know. What was your first speech about? I hope to be a multimillionaire right today, but listen to me, because I'm a fucking drug dealer and I just got out of jail and served my time. That's not that motivational, bro. So anyway, I have an actual history of building a company and selling it that put me in the position I'm in. And I don't like to shove down everyone's throat mentorship and a curriculum and all that shit that I put together. But I do have one. It's kind of like, when people come across and ask me to be their mentors, I share that information with them. And it breaks down, dude. There's not, and by the way, Craig, that's what you just said is accurate. They'll be looking for, okay, how did you do this? Let me do it too. And don't work that way. Okay. Here's what you need to look at. Here's the things you need to pay attention to. And here's some gems that apply really to every business, like negotiating a commercial lease. Like, okay, if you're going to sell into venture capital or sell into private equity, how do you raise the money? Things of that nature. But there's no like multi-level marketing component to this. I'm not like an influencer trying to teach other people how to be influencers. All those guys are full of shit, by the way, you know? So I'm just some dude that did figure it out, and I'm pretty excited about it, man. So, you know, why not share my message with the masses?
So when you talk about mentorship, so do you have people regularly come up to you and ask for mentorship, or like, has people paid for you for like information, or how does that really work?
I mean, dude, honestly, yeah, it's kind of messed up. Like, so people will DM me and they'll just be like, teach me with 3 exclamation points. Let me follow you with 3 exclamation points. So I always tell people, like, I do share the information with them, but at the same time, I'm like, bro, I can't give it away the shit for free, because it's all I'd be doing. I'd be on the phone all day, all effing day with people sharing ideas. I just had a firefighter, a good dude, man, but he's like, has this cannabis company. He thinks it's gonna be this multi-million dollar organization because he named his LLC kind of a catchy name and thinks it's worth 20 million because of the name, and he's literally a firefighter. It's
like,
because
it's like Smokehouse or something.
I'm not gonna say, because I don't want the guy to know I'm talking about it, but like, you know, we get on the phone and you know, everyone's so excited to talk about their ideas, and it's just like 25 minutes long. So I had a lot of that early on, and now I've just kind of tried to vet things a little bit differently. If people want to get on the phone and do like a pitch to me, I do charge for it, and then I'll give them feedback. I might invest in it. I'm a venture capitalist, but I usually don't invest in it. It's usually like, hey, dude, you got to change this, this, and this if you want anyone to take you seriously. Or, hey, actually, I know somebody in this space. Let me introduce you to them in my network. It's more like value propositions. I'm like that, if that makes sense.
So what would like differentiate someone that you think is going to be a winner, or like you think their business is like, what stands out for you where you like make the decision, hey, I want to stand behind this person?
Yeah. So the people that I love that DM me are those people that are in corporate sales, business to business types of sales jobs that are making in the six figures already. Those people DM me, bro, I've been watching your freaking Instagrams. And I'm President's Club every year. I made $250,000 last year, but I'm 32 years old and I don't see myself ever making more than 300 here. Could you please work with me to show me like how we should do this shit? And they might phrase it a little bit differently, but those people that I know are winners because you know, the person that's making 50 grand that's in his 30s, yeah, dude, he might be able to make it, but there's usually a reason that it's, you know, he's never went that direction. If he's never made more money than that in his life, if he doesn't have any proven sales success, I don't want to go encourage people to become entrepreneurs if they have no business being entrepreneurs. You know what I mean? And the best characteristic of an entrepreneur is a person that could sell. You know what I mean? You have to have the ability to bring in clients. And, you know, the people I just described earlier demonstrate that.
So kind of diving into more of your like social media life right now. I know you have a lot of huge names on the podcast. Austin Eckler, you had Bob on not too long ago. Mm-hmm. You just had, well, so did you say you had on, who was the guy from jail you just had?
Wes Watson. No, I did not have it on.
Okay.
Him on. Me and him have nothing to do with each other. I was just talking shit about him. So my bad.
So what's it like kind of diving into the like digital market space? Like, do you think it's like helped your outreach as far as business goes? Do you think it just kind of is like a, almost like a side project for you, or?
No, it's definitely helped out. Unfortunately, I don't really have anything I'm selling right now.
Right. I was going to ask, are you still in a business besides your like venture capitalist? Like, do you push anything on yourself or?
Dude, it just happens organically. So my Instagram and my TikTok being out there like it is, I'll give you a for instance. All right, this entrepreneur down in Florida that has a marketing company. He just left his job in corporate America, started his own marketing firm. He's 4 months in, already profitable. He's doing things, and he's reached out to me. He goes, "Hey man, I've been looking at your shit. Looked at your venture capital website too. You know, maybe there's a way to partner where I could, you know, you could refer in clients to me and blah, blah, blah. And we're going to negotiate a deal where I have a percentage of his company if, you know, certain metrics are met. And, you know, he wants to sell into private equity one day and has no idea how. Okay. I'm the guy for that. I did that. You know what I mean? I have another situation where a guy is a franchisor, and we developed a partnership where, hey man, maybe some of my followers that want to own a franchise of some sort, I could help them finance their franchise fees. And then I also get some, you know, back end referral stuff into this organization. You know, it has to be like the perfect worlds, bro. It has to be the perfect worlds. I'm not out there like pitching everybody on everything that matters. Hey, I want to make a couple hundred grand. I want to open up a franchise, and then I want to scale it and open up a few more. Okay, I might be your partner to do that. You know what I mean? Right. So I think my Instagram especially has created this entrepreneurial and growth oriented community that's allowed these opportunities to really present themselves. And that's what I'm looking more for, bro, than the, yeah, I have a video curriculum out there that if you want access to it, it's $499. I'm not going to make this shit free, dude. It's like no one will see value in it, and I don't want to be working with everybody. Okay, but if you paid $500, you sat through this thing. Okay, now at least you got my attention that you are taking shit seriously. You know, let's talk. And, you know, the hope isn't that $500. The hope is that something maybe bigger from my network comes out of the relationships. And I don't mean giving me $50,000 to be your best friend and your mentor for a year. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, let's start a fucking business and make some fucking money together.
Right. So like, what would you like? So obviously you obviously worked your balls off to get to that point where you could sell your company. What do you see yourself in like a direction now being like your everyday day-to-day like operation systems? Like you trying to stay in the background? Are you trying to like get more involved? That's what I was saying with the podcasting. Are you trying to like just move into the full on like media space?
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much. I would like to do public speaking. I had a lot of fun. I did a public speaking event to 900 eighth graders recently, and I had never done that before. And
did you scare a couple kids? Because you are pretty intense.
Brother, we videotaped it. I'm actually putting it on my podcast next week. I don't know when you're airing this, but next week it's going to be on my podcast. And I got to tell you, man, these kids were locked in, and there was like energy in the room. And dude, I fucking went off script after about 10 seconds because it was just like, I didn't need it. The story I was telling is my own freaking story. Why did I bullet point this? I know what my story is. Right. You know what I mean? These kids were locked in. It was a lot of fun.
You think you swung some kids' decisions to even go to high school? They're like, fuck it, I'm starting a business today.
Brother, I'm going to tell you what, man. So here we are, fast forward with a good probably 2 months now since we've been there. And, I'll get DMs from these kids that are, hey man, awesome. Thanks so much for coming, Mr. Sarasani, that kind of shit. And it was pretty cool, man.
They're like, start a landscaping company. How do I scale it to different neighborhoods already?
Dude, you know what's funny, man? Like landscaping companies and things of that nature are freaking great. You know, I came from a corporate environment, but shit, you know, I always have respect for that blue collar guy. You know, I live in Barrington, Illinois, and there's a lot of old money here, but there's a lot of new money too in certain neighborhoods. And you could kind of just tell when you talk, you know what, this guy owns a driveway paving company and you could see his house. He did well for himself. And I bet he never even went to college. And I got just as much respect for those guys, really more than the people that come from, you know, generational wealth. That's almost for certain. Now that said, I have nothing, my kids, hopefully, well, not hopefully, they definitely will be now coming from generational wealth that I provided them. So, you know, I have nothing against people that come from that. I'm good friends with a lot of them now as I've entered these different circles in life. But innately, just inherently, because they're more like me, I do have a different level of respect for those people that did it with very little behind them.
And I love when you say too, because you go online, you always say, not everyone can be a multimillionaire like me. So even when we met, one of the kids was talking about how he's a plumber. He wants to be in a plumbing company. He was saying about That's joining right. the union. You're like, I will never talk shit about someone that wants to join the union or like create that steady workforce for themselves and a sense of security. But it's just like, when does it like the switch change for you when like someone needs to make that thing? Is it just...
Well, so those kids were 22 years old and that kid lived in, I believe they lived in like Wyoming or Montana or something.
Yeah, Wyoming, I believe.
Yeah. And they were junior college wrestlers and they had no plans, either of them, for going on to a 4-year university after they were done. They were just there to wrestle. And I go, hey, you need some kind of freaking plan though, buddy. And he had said that one of them had said he planned on getting into a union and getting a plumber job. And I think he said his dad had done that. And nothing freaking wrong with that, because I got to tell you what, I didn't tell him this, but you go get a freaking union plumbing job and that pays X with the right benefits and all that shit. I got an uncle that's a Teamster. He's fine, man. He's doing all right. You know, the thing about plumbing though, is if you do have that entrepreneurial mindset, now that you've been doing it for a few years, when you're maybe closer to 25 or 30 years old, okay, maybe you take that leap and you go into business for yourself. You're a fucking union plumber. Hey, I used to be a union plumber. I left that behind to start my own business. Now, you know,
yeah,
the biggest thing.
Now I have 100 plumbers underneath me. You know what I'm saying? Start your own union company if you can.
If you wanted to, exactly. I mean, there's options. What I like about it though, for a young person, especially when you have that kind of time, is to learn the trade, whether that trade is an actual trade, like being a plumber or an electrician, or if that trade is learning how to do business to business sales, whatever the case may be, learn the ins and outs of that industry.
So for, say, for like a young kid coming fresh out of high school, do you suggest going to college for most kids as far as like getting specialized in a certain field, especially if they know where they want to go? Or do you think it's more personal on if you can get into a job, say like real estate or into insurance sales, where it is just pass that test, you can be low entry? Would you suggest that route?
I think you should go to college for a couple of reasons, you know, and I know times are changing a little bit with non-traditional aged kids going back to college or adults going back to college. There's night school, there's online universities. I feel like, you know, you got your professional life and you have your personal life. And if you don't go to college right after high school, the chances of you going later in life are that much slimmer, in my opinion. You know, the one exception being if you know you're from a family background where there's just such a barrier of entry because of the price points, I get it. I didn't have to experience that because I was on a football scholarship. So I admittedly maybe out of touch from that regard. But I don't know. I just feel like when I walk into a room, you know, and just in life in general, one of the first questions people always ask is just this freaking coffee talk, small talk. It's, where did you go to school? And you want to have an answer to that question, in my opinion. If you don't have an answer, that's okay, but you better have a different answer than, well, I got into the trades right after high school and I've been working at this. You don't want to be like, oh, I'm a fucking bartender and fucking, you know, wake up at 2 p.m. every day. And how old are you? 34? How long have you been doing this? Since high school. You know what I mean? You don't want that to be your story.
Yeah, you want to have like almost a different question, but just like, obviously you want to be interesting. You want to have like a fucking personality if you want to be talking to someone in the first place.
Precisely, you know, and I mean, someone tells me they were in the military after high school. I would not hold that against them. I think that's cool too. You know what I mean?
I mean, even with the military, I know some kids that get out of the military, you get that GI Bill, you get colleges paid for, you can go to school for free after that. I know kids that have gone onto the master's programs right now, like looking into some very high successful corporate jobs just from using that to their advantage. So
I got to tell you what, man, that you make a good point there, because remember what I was saying earlier in terms of like the big football player that maybe doesn't inherently have that toughness in him and he's just good at football because he's big and fast and strong or whatever. Okay. And inherently he's not a badass though. I always think about that with the military too. Okay. Cause you get all those perks, all those benefits. And what does the military do? They recruit kids sometimes, at least, that they have, you know, maybe that kid has no chance of going to college because of the environment he's in or trouble he's gotten into, and the military is going to straighten him out or whatever. Okay. Then you got another kid that's going because he can't afford college and wants to put in the time in the military so then he could go apply that to college. Okay. So you have those two different tracks. Is that bad kid that went to the military to straighten himself out, does he get so straightened out that he now goes to that other vertical? And I mean, I'm sure there's not a study on that, because how would you know? But it's an interesting dynamic to think about, in my opinion.
I mean, I definitely like do see that, especially like knowing a lot of personal friends that went to the military. Like, it does support that level of structure and discipline and hierarchy that like you kind of respect like you're higher up. So I feel like it does kind of put you in a place where kind of almost put you in a corporate mindset in the first place.
Yep. Yeah, I could see that. I just think, man, it's like some of us just are inherent. You know, it's that whole nature versus nurture thing, man. Yeah. You know, if the nurture part of the military can't straighten you out, I mean, that's as far that direction that you could go.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're kind of screwed after that point. You might as well just go into UFC fighting or something along those lines.
But I'll tell you what, man, I get people hit me up. I had a person that was a veteran hit me up on Instagram. I only took the call with him because he had some business idea or something he wanted to do. And I only took the call because he was a veteran. I could tell there was not really a lot of substance to what he was talking about in his message, but whatever. We got on the phone and he's just going off on tangents here about, you know, F this, F that. And he's like mad at the world and shit. And it's dawning on me, like, okay, is this guy like got screwed up in Afghanistan or something? Or was he like kind of fucked up and crazy before he went? Yeah. You know what I mean?
I like, see that a lot too. People like blame like PTSD on the military. I was like, you were kind of like that before you went in. Kind of just
no, that's why you went. Yeah. Exactly. Bro, you went. It was either that or jail, motherfucker. I mean, listen, I love the people in the military. So I don't want to be misquoted here on what I'm saying. If anything gets taken out of context, a couple of good, really good friends, a friend in the Air Force, a friend of mine that was in Iraq with confirmed, I think 14 confirmed kills. And, He tells me some freaking stories. He tells me some stories, and he has diagnosed PTSD. So this is definitely real shit. Now, he went to Iraq though because it was either that or a different direction, but wasn't positive for him coming out of high school. But what he did experience and feel in Iraq is fucking real, man. That shit's real.
Right. So I want to dive now into like your stardom days. So what was it like recently on Below Deck with the sailing yacht? I haven't seen the episode personally yet, but yeah. see a lot of hype around it.
Yeah, so I was on Below Deck Sailing, which is a TV show on Bravo. And for those that don't watch it, it's a reality show, but it's about the cast members or it's about the crew. So it's the captain and the stewards and all this shit. And they're all banging each other behind the scenes and there's drama and all this shit, but different guests come on this 177 foot sailing yacht, $250,000 a week yacht. We're in Sardinia, Italy, and we're just the guests that they're there to serve. Okay. So every episode has different primary guests. And it was funny, man, because when I watched it, I'm like, that little B or F him, because they're talking shit behind the scenes about like me and my family and shit.
But then
like,
all smiles to your face.
Exactly. Oh, thank you, Mr. Sarasani. Thank you. And I'm like, fuck that guy. He's a douchebag.
Well, you dropped your classic line, which I heard while you were in Boston. Peep my chain, motherfucker.
Yeah, look at my chain, bitch. Well, so speaking of Boston, Johnny Damon, who I'm sure you know, was...
We had him on the podcast here.
Have you?
Yeah,
awesome, bro. So I'm on the phone with him the other fucking day, and because he was on Below Deck as well. Now, I'm sure when you interview Johnny Damon, there's a lot more shit to talk to him about than just his appearance on Below Deck. But he was telling me this story where they kept someone got bit by a jellyfish. And then I guess he made a joke at one point. Will someone piss on me? And then they superimposed his voice throughout the episode to make it sound like he was kept going up to everyone asking them to piss on him.
Yeah, those directors and producers do some slimy stuff.
So they haven't done that to me at all. But I gotta tell you, it was a cool experience, man. It was a lot of fun. You know, it's expensive though, bro. People don't realize that at all. Johnny was telling me how they split the fee between three couples, and Johnny's done pretty fucking well for himself. And I'm thinking to myself, that was a good idea. I probably should have fucking split that fee, but I brought my kids. I brought the girl I was dating at the time. And then I brought two other couples. And then one of the other couples actually didn't go because they got COVID 2 days before. It was right at the end of COVID when we filmed it. I'm like, mother effer, I can't believe this. And it was a great experience, man. It was really like a lot of fun.
Love that. Would you ever see yourself doing it again? Would they invite you back on?
Yeah. So their casting director, I think, has like a like email list of, see, here's what you got to understand. It ain't hard to get on this fucking show. Yeah. All right. Everyone pay attention. You want to be on Below Deck? Not too hard, but here's what you need to do. You're paying for the motherfucker. Okay. You're doing it their dates. You're doing it their location. Oh, and by the way, that ship usually holds like 16 people you're allowed to bring. You're only allowed to bring six because their crew and producers are taking the other freaking rooms. So, you know, you got to agree to all that criteria. And if you have a little bit of charisma, my guess is that you'll make the cut.
They'll superimpose your voice a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
So a couple last questions to wrap up here. Don't want to keep you too long. I know you're a busy businessman. Don't want to get charged here. But so what would you say? What would be just a piece of advice to have someone take that extra leap to get over that fear you were talking about? That like is the almost like self-induced fear or external fear? Like what's something like someone can say to themselves, like prove to themselves, like what's like the real test of someone that wants to be on your level of success?
Yeah, I could tell you this. I could tell you that when I was making 100 grand in corporate America, are making 140 grand in corporate America. That's a substantial difference. And I look back at that and could tell you that it didn't really change anything in my life. Yeah, maybe A, B, and C was slightly nicer, but nothing really changed from a happiness component. And when you look at, you know, the 10, 20, 30% increments in your salary, just understand it, man. Just understand it. So if you really want to be financially free, it's not going to ever come from raises that you get at work. And I went when I started my company, it's like the second year in, I was hovering around 300, 350 grand, kind of steady grinding. And that was my take home. And then 1 year, man, in probably about a 7 month period on a pro forma basis, my revenue went from 350 to closer to 800. And when that happened, everything I looked at changed, and it changed drastically. I looked now at, okay, you know what? And instead of hoping to buy a second home one day, I'm going to look at retiring early. All right. And it just kept hockey sticking up from there. You don't get that kind of freedom when you're working for someone else. It just simply doesn't happen. One exception, the only exception really, is if you're in a early stage company and they give you equity in that company, and you have the 1 in 1 million chance that somebody goes and buys that company and your stock skyrockets. Even in that case, you're still a freaking employee. A CEO and a founder is the one who granted you that shares. You're still their little bitch. Okay. So wherever you want to be in life, okay, hey, I want to be the guy that's going to Sardinia, Italy. I want to be the guy that doesn't blink and is renting this yacht and not charging his friends when freaking people like that Johnny Damon are splitting it three ways. You know, do the freaking math. I did it without blinking. This will never happen working for somebody else.
Right. So you're definitely saying equity is the number one thing. You want to be able to sell your company at the end of the day, almost.
Equity, preferably 100% of the equity. Yep.
And then a couple of last questions would be, who'd you look up to in the business world as far as like a mentor or someone you like idolize as far as like a role model?
Gosh, good question, man. I don't know if I've really had any business role models to be quite honest with you. You know, I know it's taboo to talk about Donald Trump now, because he's in politics, but even him back as a businessman, I mean, yeah, I would see the success of Donald Trump. I would see the success of Bill Gates, but their practices and the things that they were doing was nothing really that resonated with me. I was not a commercial real estate guy. I was not a tech guy. I respected them though. I would say, you know, I really more looked up to athletes. My heroes were like Michael Jordan, Hulk Hogan. That's a different one for you, right? Hulk Hogan was somebody I loved. And these were more, I don't know, man. I think Hulk Hogan probably had more of an influence over me as a kid than anyone else, man. I would get fucking pumped up, man. And then when he turned into a bad guy, I'm like, motherfucker, how are you guys doing this to me? Come on.
And final question here. What is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Best piece of advice that I ever received. When I was playing football at Notre Dame, all right, shit was shitty, man. It was like a freshman, it world hits you like a freaking train. It's like, dude, this is rough. And Lou Holtz, the head football coach at the time, it was like October, so I'd been there since August. He pulls me into his office one day. I'm just a bright-eyed little freshman. He goes, Sarasani, every time I see you, you got a frowny freaking face. Every time you're walking past me, it's like you're pissed at someone. Smile or get the fuck out of here. He didn't say it exactly like that, but that was his point. And my tight end coach, a guy named Bob Kamel, would say to me, John, practice smiling more. People don't want to be around you. Nowadays, call is resting bitch face.
Yep.
Back then, that term did not exist.
Back then, you're just an asshole.
Exactly. I was just some fucking depressed guy no one wanted to be around, I guess. But, you know, I'm a 6'5", 270, so no one bothered to tell me. But fucking that was my... Boom. Okay. So I've tried to make a point to that. And one of the ways that I always apply it to is if somebody walks into a room and say, there's four of us sitting there and a new person walks in, smile and look at the person. Nothing worse than like not acknowledging someone. That's like a big fuck you, in my opinion. And when people do it to me, I'm petty. I'll remember that shit. If I don't see that person for another 6 years, like, oh, that's that motherfucker that didn't say hi to me or give me fucking eye contact. Fuck him.
So just stay positive. Fucking keep a smile on your face. Positivity breeds positivity. You don't want to get remembered as an asshole.
Dude, Dale Carnegie wrote a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he talks about why people like puppies a lot more than they like cats. The reason they like puppies more than they like cats is because cats fucking ignore you. Puppies start panting and their ears go up when you walk into a room. Cats fucking hide behind the couch. Don't be a fucking cat.
Well, I guess that's a good way to end it there. John, hey, good luck with all your future endeavors. I actually have the book on pre-order right now. I was hoping to have it before our interview so I could read it. I see the big trend is a lot of people reading on the yachts. So I was painting mine this earlier today. So I'll be on it reading on the hull later on with a couple of ladies on my side.
2000% raise, everybody. And 2000%raise.com is my website. If you want to get on our weekly email list, we do have exciting updates every Monday revolving around my podcast.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, brother.
Talk to you soon. Peace.
It was good, man.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Cool. You want to talk at all? Yeah. All right, cool, man.
Yeah. So
when do you think you're gonna post it?
Probably this week. Probably either tomorrow or Saturday. Usually have a quick turnover.
Do you just do audio or do you do video too?
We do audio and video. Yeah, so It's just this one shot right here. This is just the one. So I see you always rocking the multi-camera angles, but with my producer busy, we just kept the one. And we usually have multiple posts here too, so.
Nice. Okay, dude. Well, let me know when you do it. I'll fucking reshare it and all that shit.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I said, I wrote one of the greatest bios of all time based around myself. I was like, because right when you texted me that, I was like, am I going on 2000% raise? I was like, I don't think so. If he is, that's fucking great exposure for me. I'm one of the top dogs now.
Well, I think I was in Cabo. I don't even know where I was.
Yeah, I think you were away.
Yeah, and my colleague Brian, who's in here right now, he's taking responsibility for it. But it actually was my fault. Because he never knew what we were talking about. So I think I just CC'd him on an email to talk to you about the podcast. I didn't make it clear, so that's totally my fault. Because I'm looking at it, I'm like, shit. Craig uses this exact same platform we use. This is fucking weird. Wait, his podcast is named the same as mine?
To that 3000% raise, you heard it here, coming for us next year. But I'm not even so even today. I work for a generator technician company, but I do mostly supervision work, and I know for a fact. So I'm making $45 an hour right now. I'm working a lot of hours, and I honestly sleep for the most of it. So I have a lot of free time to like, whether that's like day trading or coming in here trying to like obviously build my podcast outreach. But one of the owners sold out of the company, and he's a kid my age. And I literally was talking to him today. I was like, I know I'm going to be on this podcast and I know I'm going to catch the bug, but I literally want to just make my own generator supervision company because I know they're making three times what they're charging for me right now. And I'm making $120,000 a year, but if I can make three to then scale it to then have my own guys out there charging fucking 60% on everything.
Yeah, and you could go in other geographies too. What do you work on, Generex?
So it's like I work for the service company, but my supervisor division, a generator in Massachusetts has to have a 24-hour watch when it's on. So I've been on this job for fucking the last 2 months straight. I think it's going to go for another 3 months, but I've been doing 7 days a week. So I'd love to have my own company to throw out six different guys out there making $60 on them each, double what I'm making right now. But
yeah, do you service any generators or just Generac?
Yeah, so we do MQ, Generac, there's a Kohler, like basically all the main companies.
Okay, because dude, honestly, so I have a 12,000 square foot house, and when I bought this thing, the generator didn't fucking work, and we thought the battery's out. Somebody installed it fucking wrong. It was the backup generator, obviously, and it was a Kohler one, and I literally had to go through four different fucking technicians out here before I fucking, because everyone's like, oh, I don't know how to work on Kohler. Everyone's expecting Generac, so I don't know. At least in Chicago, if you work on Kohler, it's niche. It was hard to find anyone that could do it.
Yeah, like I have another kid that works in, so I basically do full-time in the supervisor position, but I have like other technicians that want to start a company. It's as far as like you make the most money doing the supervision work.
But, oh, I see. I understand now.
But there's
gotcha.
A full division of service people. So there's people like my boss personally is probably the best generated technician of all time. Like we got these huge contracts because people were sending generators that couldn't get fixed for 10 months to him. He was saying, hey, come pick it up. 24 hours later, they're like, yeah, you can't figure it out. He's like, no, it's running 100% fine. So if you have any more problems with any generator issues, I can have a dude up there and fucking tomorrow if you needed it.
Oh, good to know, man.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Stay in touch, dude. Don't be a stranger, man.
Absolutely. Nice talking to you. See you, John.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Thanks
see you, man.
Thanks for coming on. Peace.